do the right thing? Shouldn't it be easy to recognize what it is God wants us to do and just do it? But it's not. It wasn't easy for Paul either. So I want to start today reading Romans chapter 7, and I'll be reading verses 15 through 20. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that it is the law, that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, but that it is my sinful nature. For I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this keeps on doing. Now I do what I do not want to do. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. We're going to continue in the book of Proverbs. And as we do that, there's a simple message. And there are several real life situations that we're going to consider today. And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about them. And I ask you not only to listen and read the words of the Bible, which are powerful, and hear a message from me that I believe comes from God, but allow the Holy Spirit to stir in you. Lord, you know where each of us are in our lives right now. We've invited in a very specific, direct way to have your Spirit, like Linda said, not just in this building, but inside of us. And Lord, that we recognize that we feel that we ask that as we come together to worship and give you honor and glory and praise that you deserve, that we also receive from you what you desire to show us in your love and your instruction. God, help this to be the time you have declared it should be right now as we come in communion with each other, but more importantly, with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your bulletins with you, you'll see some of the things, actually all of the basic topics we're going to be talking about there today. And as we do, I want to understand the relevance of who God is and who the Holy Spirit is and how God desires to speak into our lives on a regular basis. So as I look through the book of Proverbs, and I was focusing on chapters 20 through 25, I just picked out some real life situations that were being spoken to, and I just want to quickly address some of those and then just see what Scripture has to say about it. So the first thing that stuck out, as we look at the landscape, as you walk out of the church today, you'll see mountains, beautiful, majestic mountains. But at the foot of those mountains, you know what I've come to realize in the time I've been in Nelson County? There's a lot of growth. There are a lot of things that grow that are beautiful, and one of those is what you might term the fruit of the vine, grapes. Now, grapes, wine, I think can probably be a good thing. After all, Jesus himself created some of the most magnificent wine ever consumed at a wedding feast. But I've also realized that as far as I'm aware right now, Nelson is also home to 5 wineries, 3 breweries, a distillery, and a cidery. What would God have to say about this? Like I said, Jesus himself produced some of the best wine tasting ever, probably. But let's see. Let's just see what it is Scripture has to say through the book of Proverbs. And you've got Scripture listed there. You can look it up or you can keep that with you and go back and study it and look when you get home. But I'll start with Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. And I'm not going to read through all of these. You'll have them there. But the first thing in that scripture, it says, whoever is led astray by wine and beer is not wise. So what does it mean to be led astray? Then as we continue, if you look in chapter 23, verses 20 through 21, just summarizing that, it says, do not join those who drink too much. Now, I want to pause there for a moment, and these are simple words, and they make sense. But remember, we've spent time talking about the Holy Spirit. God knows where you are in your life, in your struggles, and the people that you spend time with, and what's going on. And as we read scriptures, we pay attention to it. The Holy Spirit desires to move in a specific way with a specific message for you. I don't know what that specific message is for you right now, but God does, and I've invited you to be open to that. I do want to read in its entirety Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 25. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 25. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I am not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink? So, what does this say about consumption of alcohol? From my reading, from my understanding, I'm not going to get into all the specifics of this. There are others who would disagree with me. But in my reading of Scripture, the consumption of alcohol itself is not a sin. In my reading, there are some that I know that would say differently. But it does say that wine, alcohol, can and will cause people to go in a direction that is away from God. So we must be careful of that. We must be aware of that. We must be sure to include God in the midst of it. If ever, not just alcohol, anything that pulls us away from the direction God wants us to go, begins to control us, we're giving in to that sin. Another thing that should probably be mentioned is that it's not only a problem when it does that with us, but there are people, we're aware of alcoholism. We're aware of people that struggle in different ways. Anything we do that causes another one to stumble is also a sin. So I'm leaving it at a pretty general place as we talk about alcohol today. Because I believe, particularly being in Nelson County as much as anywhere else, we hear it almost every week. The wineries, the distilleries, the breweries. I don't know how many of you know this. I didn't have an opportunity. I'm not sure that it bothered me that I didn't have the opportunity. As a pastor, I was contacted by the media when one of the last wineries or distilleries opened, and they wanted a statement from me as a pastor at a local church as to what the church's take was on the plethora of such places in the area. I wasn't around and available, so I pushed it off on AC down the road, and he had opportunity to respond to that. But really, in my mind, what we need to focus on is who God is in our lives and how God wants to be a part of everything that happens, every decision that we make. And this is one that we face. in our personal life, in our families, in our community. So I invite you to take in the Scripture. This leads me to another one. Other things that we're surrounded by. And the thing that I want to ask you is, if you look at the list, it's we're talking about quarreling and arguing. When was the last time you got in a verbal argument or disagreement with someone? Think about it. Don't raise your hand. Don't name names. When was the last time you got in a verbal argument, a disagreement with someone? How did it go? Think about it. How did it go? How did you handle it? What does God's Word say about that? Have you ever thought about it? It is. We're going to see it in just a minute. But have you thought about the fact? And I mean, I'm looking at Seth. Have you argued with your brothers in the past week? Okay. My boys have too. I think it happened this morning. Don't raise your hand. Don't even cut eyes or look. Spouses, how many of you have argued with each other in the past week? How many of you have had a disagreement with someone at work? You know, the Bible speaks to that. So let's look at it. You've got the Scriptures again listed there. So if we go to the Scriptures, first of all, there's Proverbs 20, verse 3. It says, "It is one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." You get that? It is one's honor to avoid strife, not to just go there and jump right into it. And then there's another one there I'll let you read. But then verse chapter 22, verses 24 through 45, hear this one. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." You ever seen that happen? You ever had it happen to you? You're going along, your day can be fine. And maybe you're just observing it. Maybe you're not even in the middle of it. But there's this person, somebody gets really upset. They're ticked off. They're dealing with this. They're just getting into it. And before long, the people around them have been drugged right into it too. And they create this movement of negativity. It happens. And so Scripture here is saying you're not to be a person that does that, and you're not to make it a point of hanging around people who do. Now, some people would say that, well, some people, I just have a personality like that. I'm just like that, or she's just like that, or he's just like that. And, or, you know, I'm just being honest. Those are cop-outs. Honesty is a good thing. But honesty that leads to strife and quarreling and anger is not the type of honesty that's being talked about here. And if you want to know the difference, consider the heart. Because honesty comes, genuine honesty in Christ also puts others above yourself and concern about them. Quarreling, anger, strife is more about yourself. So that's a way to tell the difference. You know, since we're talking about honesty, let's go ahead and move to that one. I think the next one I've got listed there is laziness. But you know what I'm going to do? Those of you who are struggling with laziness need to be prompted anyway. You take the Scriptures and you go look it up and you figure out what laziness is about. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So go figure out laziness on your own and then come back and talk to me about it. So we're going to move on to honesty. Honesty sounds good, but it's not always as good as it sounds. You know why? Because honesty, genuine honesty, can keep a person from having friends or acquiring things that you think you want. Because sometimes if you're just not quite honest about who you are, not quite honest about what you think of somebody or something, you can get a little bit further in life. You might get somebody to hang out with you a little bit more. You might be a little more likely to get that promotion. You might be a little more likely to hang out at the lunch table with these people. If you're just not quite so honest. Honesty can get you in trouble. Does a little white lie really matter? Because you see, none of us are perfect, and there are times that we need to confess. We need to man up to the places that we fall short, but we don't like doing that. And you know, if we just don't tell it exactly the way it was or exactly the way it happens, and it really doesn't matter, and it's not going to make it much difference, it'll keep us out of trouble. Does the little white lie really matter? Let's look at what Scripture has to say about that. We go to Proverbs, beginning with verse chapter 20, verse 17. We look at that. It actually uses the word in the NIV. It talks about fraud. We hear that in today's world all the time, in the secular world, people being accused of fraud. Do you realize it speaks directly to that in the Bible? Food gained by fraud tastes sweet. We may think it's going to be okay, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel, is what it says. And then it turns out just not to be what it should be. Chapter 21, verse 6 says, "A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare." A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. There's lots of ways to get ahead by cheating. And you know, sometimes we can convince ourselves it's not really cheating. We're just maybe not sharing all the information we need to. I'll let you look at the last verse on your own and allow the Spirit to move there. But as we talk about honesty and looking around at the things that are around us, wanting to be relevant, one of the things I've had most around me that I paid a lot of attention to in the past 2 or 3 days is this little life right here known as Ethan. He spent 2 days at my house, and we let Mom and Dad hang out too. And Ethan's pretty awesome. It's amazing when he's in a room, and y'all never seen Ethan before, and you're looking at him smiling like he's yours. But that's what children can do. So the next question that we're looking at, what we're thinking about, is involving children. And you know, I've heard it said that Viking cleaners come with instruction manuals. Microwaves come with instruction manuals. Cars come with instruction manuals. But not children. Did they give you one of those in the hospital, Amber, when... But there is an instruction manual for children, and it's Scripture. And we can look in that. And what I'm sharing today is just a portion of what I get out of chapters 20 through 25 of Proverbs. There's so much more in here. I'm just tapping into the surface of what Scripture says about this. So let's see what Scripture does say about children, about rearing, about discipline. So as we consider that, we have Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." Really? I mean, looking at Ethan now, and Ethan's going to, a few years, he'll be 10 years old. It's going to come really quickly. And you know, it's children sometimes... How many of you have ever had a puppy? Mandy, didn't y'all just recently get a new one? I think I saw something about it. Did y'all get a new dog? Oh, you looked at one. You haven't gotten it. Okay. So, you've had a puppy. Now, when a puppy is new, everybody loves the little puppies. And they come up. You ever had a little puppy just jump up on your knees? They jump up on your knees, and they're so cute. And I've had sometimes the owner will come by and say, "Get down, get down." And all the people, "Well, don't do that. He's just playing. Come on here." And you pick a little puppy up. And you start playing with it. And jumps up again. You pick it up again. And so you're training the puppy to do that. Are you going to want that puppy to do that when it gets to be 63 pounds? No. And so the discipline that's being talked about here, a lot of times we just allow things to kind of take their course. And if we do that with children... the same thing is going to happen that happens with the puppies. They become dogs. The children, the babies become children and they become teenagers and they need instruction just like any living thing needs instruction. And Scripture tells that. Chapter 22, verse 15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away." What does this mean? Bob's going to go home and tell his... Well, he ain't even going to wait till he gets home. He'll get it. See, hear what Greg said? I got that rod and that switch ready. You just... Well, I want to tell you something. The Bible does say something along the lines of spare the rod and spoil the child. But again, I invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to move in the midst of that. Because there are a lot of people who've claimed Scripture and cause much more harm than good in the way they tried to discipline a child. But there have also been some who completely ignored Scripture and allowed children that they think they care for to go by the wayside in a way that breaks God's heart. So discipline is something that's of God. God disciplines us. God wants us as parents to discipline our children. Let me tell you about my brother. I don't know if he's going to hear this recording or not. I'm not sure I want him to. But when my brother and I were growing up, Mom and Dad disciplined us in different ways. Neither one of us got many whippings. We got some, but Mom and Dad realized that wasn't the most effective way to discipline us. I'm not going to talk too much about how they disciplined me because that's embarrassing. But I'll tell you about my brother. See, they would whip him, and he was actually okay with that. And it didn't seem to have as much effect as they wanted. But Barry's favorite thing to do in his spare time was watch TV. He just wanted to watch TV and wanted to watch TV and wanted to watch TV. So that became the discipline. When Barry didn't do what he was supposed to, he got TV taken away from him. He would have rather had 10 whippings than have an hour of TV taken away. See, my mom and my dad knew us. They took time to get to know us. They cared about us. They loved us. And they disciplined us in the way that was appropriate, that was going to make a difference. Sometimes we got the whipping and the TV taken away. But allow God's Spirit to move and be aware of the responsibility that we have as parents. And children, this isn't in Proverbs. I'm giving it to you for free. There's sometimes you're going to think your mom and dad just don't like you because of what they're doing. If your mom and dad are trying to be your friends all the time, they aren't doing what God wants them to do. And I promise you, you want to have the parents God wants you to have. And one day you're going to grow up and you're going to strive to figure out how to be the same person. It's not easy. Even though God gives us the instruction manual, being parents is not an easy thing to do. Not when you're trying to be the one God wants you to be. So give your mom and dad a break today. I bet they appreciate it. Well, this moves us on to listening, watching, talking about eyes and ears. I want you to do something for me. Look at the people beside of you, immediately beside of you. Look at them beside you. Okay? Everybody do that? I want you to do something, even if you don't really know them that well. Linda, you can look at Ethan. You're the only one that gets to do that. How many eyes does the person beside of you have? And how many ears do the person beside of you have? Now, here's the really tricky question. How many mouths does the person beside of you have? You ever think about how God created us? Now, we would think it would look weird if we had one eye and one ear just because we're used to that. But I'm not thinking God just did it so we would look better like that. I think God knew what we needed. We need to spend twice as much time watching and listening as we do talking. We really do. And you should never forget that again, because everywhere you look, everybody's got two eyes and two ears and one mouth. Oh, you got to consider the size. I'm not even going there. But what would it be like? Think for a moment. What would it be like if the people that you spend the most time with spent twice as much time listening and watching as they do talking? What would people say about you and how their life would be if you spent twice as much time listening or watching instead of talking. And by listening and watching, it doesn't mean just keeping your mouth shut when somebody else is talking. It means going through life and paying attention to the things that are around you. It's not just about the introvert-extrovert thing. Let's look at some scripture on that. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says, "Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both." That's what Proverbs says. And then 21, verse 13 says, "Whoever shut their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered." So you see, it's not just about the conversations you're having. It's paying attention to what God's doing around you. Remember, we prayed about the Holy Spirit. We really focused on the Holy Spirit today. God's Spirit moves in ways that God wants us to hear and see and respond. And sometimes we're running our mouth so much and doing our own thing that we miss it. I've been running mine a little bit long and I'm getting carried away, so I'm going to move a little bit through the next one. Well, actually, it'll be pretty simple. How to treat enemies. Some people to think about. Middle school bullies. Hey, anybody here in middle school this year? Raise your hand if you're in middle school. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just wondering, is anybody in middle school ever mean? You ever had, nobody? Y'all don't have mean people in middle school? Yeah, I'm seeing it. You're saying it now. Sometimes they're so mean they would even be considered enemies. So you have that. What do you think of when I say two just random names, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? Oh, they're funny. You ever seen any meanness that happens there? Last one. Is anybody you just really, really, really don't like? If I said their name, you'd probably even, your nose would scrunch up. Proverbs 25, 21 through 22 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And as they do, this is what I want you to do. We've talked about some very real-life situations today, and they're just some that I picked out from reading in Proverbs. And hopefully you're continuing to read through Proverbs, and like I said, it's just kind of a representation of the Bible as a whole. But these are some simple things, but the Holy Spirit, and you can pick those, and if you want to, I want you to hear me. This is important. Listen to what I'm saying right now. People do it all the time. You can pick out Proverbs. It can also probably be one of the most misused Bible books of the Bible, because you can pick out things and you can try to make them say what you want them to say, whether it's talking about alcohol, whether it's talking about discipline, and it can be misused, and it can be used for Satan if the person desires to do that. But that's why you have to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you where you are. Don't make it about your agenda. Don't take God's word and make it what you want it to be. Go to God. Give yourself to God and ask God to move in the midst of where you are. Spend time there. Allow God to speak to you. And you know how you know when the Holy Spirit's speaking? Because you usually hear things that you, at least in part, don't really want to hear all of that. And you don't really want to act on it. It points out some of the things you're struggling with. But then along with that, you get strength and encouragement and reminders. And you're able, remember that question I started off with? Do you want to do the right thing? Do you want to be the person God wants you to be? That's what the book of Proverbs and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, that's what God wants to do through all of those. So as we come now to a time of invitation, I'm here. I'd love to pray with you about any challenges that you're feeling. The altar's open. You can pray where you are. But the Holy Spirit is here. Listen. Respond.